right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. People who live in areas where the Christian faith has exerted an influence on the culture and the values take it for granted that we owe it to those who are needy and desperate in our society to offer them help. We sort of take that for granted. Our conscience tells us that. If you see, you know, a needy person, they ought to be helped in some way. Now, some people think the best way to do that is through nonprofits, through churches. Other people think that's not enough. We also need to have a public means of a social safety net, whatever. It doesn't matter what you think the best solution is. The issue is whether or not you think a society owes it to its needy members to come to their aid. That is something that most people in the Christian world take for granted. But you know what? It wasn't always that way. It wasn't that way when Jesus came into the world. Needy people, the poor, the destitute, usually the response to them on the part of the Gentile world was just ignore them. Among the Jews, it was a little better. They felt that it was important to help widows and orphans because oftentimes the father of the house would die young and they were destitute and there ought to be some means to take care of them. But those who were out on the street, the beggars, people suffering from malnutrition, the blind, the deranged who just couldn't take responsibility for their own lives, nobody cared. The explanation usually was, well, they must have done something wrong. It was the blame the victim approach. God is punishing them. It's their fault that they got themselves into trouble. Well, you know what? Sometimes that's true. Some people who are destitute, it is their fault. And Jesus acknowledged as much when he told the parable of the prodigal son. When he had to, you know, the prodigal went off with all kinds of money. Then he ended up in a pig pen. And he couldn't feed himself, and it was his own fault. Nevertheless, in Jesus' parable, the father does not say, "Sorry, buddy, you made your own bed, now live in it." He welcomed him home and threw a party because he was back where his father wanted him. One of the stories that's recorded in all four Gospels, in fact, the only story that's recorded in all four Gospels, is the feeding of the 5,000. That story was transformative for people, and the Gospel writers knew it. Because what you had was a situation where there were thousands of people gathered from villages all around, in a place that was really rather deserted. They were away from their villages. And they came because they wanted to hear this rabbi they had heard about, and probably because there were people there who had heard that he could heal them, and they came for that. In any case, there were thousands. And it's getting late in the day. The disciples are tired. Jesus is probably more tired than they are, because he's been, you know, teaching and helping these people. And so the disciples tell Jesus, you know, tell these people to go home. We're tired. We want to be done with this, okay? Enough for today. And then they say, they have to have dinner anyway, so have them go back home to get their food. And Jesus turns to them and he says, you feed them. You feed them. Well, we can't feed them. We've just got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And it's interesting that they mention specifically barley loaves, because in Galilee, in that period, farmers grew wheat and barley. Wheat for human consumption, barley for the consumption of animals because it's less nutritious. But the poor were stuck with barley because it cost less. And the fish, the little fish, they were probably like the size of sardines. Okay, that's all they had. Okay, well, that's going to require a miracle. But when Jesus says, you feed them, and this is all they have, there's another message in there besides the fact that a miracle is required. And the message is this. Even if you don't have much to be able to help, use the positive approach is to suggest, well, even though it's not a lot, it's something. Rather than saying to yourself, it's not enough, say to yourself, it's something. It'll do something. It's a positive message rather than a negative one. And that's the way he looked at it. In addition to the fact that, of course, he blesses the food and it feeds all these people. Now, the message was not lost on them. He had been preaching about the love of God to these people. God loves you. Even though you've been told that you're a bunch of sinners, you're not worthy of anybody's attention, you're just, nobody cares about you. Basically, it was what they heard. Jesus was telling them that God cares about them. But the importance of this incident is that he made it concrete. They weren't just hearing words now. They were actually receiving God's love in the form of the food that they needed. So Jesus was showing them in what he did that what he said was true. God loves you. And he desires that you have from among the abundance that God has provided. I have come that they might have abundant life, Jesus said. Not less, but more. Jesus comes and identifies with all people. Especially, he gives his attention to the needy, because the idea was, and apparently people, this didn't soak in, but the Jews, their scriptures were the only ones in the entire ancient world that said all people, male and female, are created in the image of God and therefore equally of value in the sight of God. They were the only culture that had that idea. So Jesus comes as a human being and identifies with each and every one of us. And in so doing, his love for us is meant to transform our heart and our conscience such that we become like him. So he makes that concrete also in another parable. It's a parable of the last judgment. And he says at the last judgment, the king will come and separate the sheep from the goats. And the sheep are the ones who actually, that the king actually knows. Well, they don't know that the king knows them, but they find out why. And the reason the king knows them is because, as Jesus puts it, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick or in prison, you visited me. Jesus identifies with us in our need. He identifies with us as human beings, vulnerable, needy, and at times in situations where we can't help ourselves. And that brings us to today's story. Today's text is, of course, part of the Passion story. And the Passion story is the story of the lengths to which Jesus will go to demonstrate God's love for us. So, one of the things that people had a really hard time figuring out was how you could call a man who suffered and died a shameful death, that of a criminal, how could you call him the Messiah, the Redeemer of the human race? How is that possible? Because for most people, a Savior, a Messiah, is someone who takes control and saves people from whatever is oppressing them, from whatever power is making life miserable. But what this Messiah does is he actually goes through the very things that oppress the human race and represent an ultimate existential threat to our lives, sin and death. And he defeats them not by just doing away with them, but by actually going through them. He becomes a sinner, even though he isn't one. And he suffers death, even though he didn't have to. And why does he do that? He does that because that's the only way he can defeat it. The only way you can defeat the enemy is by facing it and overcoming it. And that is what he does, and that is why he suffers and dies. Now, before he does that, you've got these two criminals who serve as exemplars of what it means to find hope in the face of what is hopeless. So you've got this first criminal, along with everybody else around the cross, saying, if you are the Son of God, if you are so powerful, Why don't you just come down from the cross and save yourself? For them, saving yourself means not dying, but avoiding it. Now notice the if. An if is a conditional word. It's a little bit like saying, I will believe you only if you do X. This reminded me when I was 15 years old. I just got my driver's license. And I figured I could manipulate my parents' love. So I said, if you guys really cared for me, you'd buy me a car. Well, they saw through that, obviously, and they didn't just buy the car. They gave me the option of working, earning some money so I could buy the car. But here you see that same thing. If we will believe in you only if you do so-and-so. Show us that you're so powerful. And that's what the first criminal does. He just wants to avoid the mess he's in. He takes no responsibility. It's not my fault. He takes no responsibility. He doesn't admit to the fact that he's on that. When people committed crimes in that society, they knew that this was the punishment. Yes, it was sadistic. Yes, it was horrible. But people knew it. So they knew if that's what that would be what you would go through if you committed a crime that was punishable by death. So rather than saying, yeah, I got myself into this mess, dear Lord, could you please help me? Because I believe you can. He says, no. He says, get me out of this and I'll believe in you if you do. Well, that's not faith. That's conditional. That's testing God. The other guy does the exact opposite. He admits that he's in this situation because he got himself there. We're getting what we deserve, he says, which is an act of repentance. It is a clear message to Jesus that this person knows that he is responsible for his own situation. And he also knows that in the face of death, there is no other hope except hope in someone who can overcome death. And so he humbly requests, doesn't demand, but requests, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That is an act of faith. That is a prayer. That is a prayer that suggests this person, in his dire hour of need, is placing his future in the hands of a man he believes ultimately will be able to overcome the hopelessness of death and the sin that put him there. So Jesus responds with his promise, today you will be with me in paradise. So God comes to love us. God comes to love us not just to show us mercy, not just to free us from the past sins, allow us to let the past go and become new people, to unchain us from the guilt and the shame of whatever it is we've gone through. He came to do that as a free gift. But he also came so that his love would transform our conscience and our hearts to become new people, to become people who would see in the needs of others ourselves reflected back. That could be me. And people who have a conscience that directs them to a life of love and service. and the values that now, in many ways, because of the influence of one man whose ministry lasted maybe 2 years at the most, transformed the entire culture. So we believe in Jesus as our King because he has shown us mercy. We believe in him because he has loved us so much that he gave his life. And we believe in him because when we see him, we see the very, very best of what it means to be a human being. Amen.